We're going to read tonight from Psalm 145. So if you open your Bibles to Psalm 145. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version. Psalm 145. Hear the word of the Lord. A song of praise of David. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of men your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his works. The Lord upholds all who are falling, and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand, you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, and to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Charles. So it's good to be with you once again. Good evening. I should give you my good evening. And isn't it great to be able to praise our God together? And we're going to think a little bit more about that now based on that psalm. Well, if you have been keeping up with entertainment news of late, you might know that last week the company Marvel released their latest television show. And what's it called? It's called Moon Knight. Picture of it there. Now, if you'd asked me 6 months ago what this was about, I would have said I had no idea. Right? I probably would have thought you were talking to me about a special image of the moon that appears on one night, like once a year or something like that. But now, well, even though I still haven't watched it, I can tell you a bit about it. Why? Well, because of a particular family member of mine, one of my nephews, who happens to be a massive fan of this show. In fact, ever since it's appeared on advertisements, and I'm suspecting some of you might know who this is, ever since it's appeared on advertisements, this nephew of mine hasn't stopped praising it. And every time it's mentioned, I can see there's like a physical reaction. His eyes go wide. A beaming smile appears across his face. He starts kind of like bouncing on the tips of his toes. And he's into it, right? He's telling you all about how great it is. Now, the costumes, the character building, the atmosphere, he just can't stop talking about it. Now, this is a young man who almost has limitless praise for this new TV show. So much so, in fact, that I went to visit him this week briefly and I asked him if I could have a conversation with him about it as a bit of research for this talk. And his father, who happened to overhear me ask that question, said to me with a smirk on his face, "Have you got 5 hours?" Now, that's a jest, isn't it? But it's this guy, he just wants to talk about it. He just wants to say how great it is. He wants to give limitless praise for his new favorite TV show. Now, we all have praise for something, don't we? Now, what is it for you? What is it that you praise the most? Maybe it's good food. Maybe there's a particular type of cuisine that you just can't get enough of. Maybe it's fast cars, the faster the better. Maybe it's seeing a breathtaking vista. Or perhaps the latest gadget. Maybe it's your favorite sports team. Or whatever it might be. In tonight's passage, King David, the author of this psalm that we just read, he is crystal clear on what he praises the most. Now, he praises God. And in fact, his desire to praise God is so strong, so fervent, that he wants to praise God in a limitless way. Let's have a look again at verse 1. Okay, verse 1 of Psalm 145. David writes, "I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." That's a long time, isn't it? His desire is to praise God for all time. I don't know about you, but when you get like a new phone, maybe you've been through this experience, initially when you first get your hands on it, you can have high praise for it, right? That's probably one of the reasons why you bought it, because you think it's really good. And you get to unbox your new phone and it's all shiny and it's like, ooh. But then you start using it for a while and you realize, oh, there's some flaws. Maybe this isn't as good as I thought it was. It's not doing the thing that I need it to do. And your praise for that thing that started out so high is likely to go down, isn't it? But David, well, there's no sense of any of that here. He says he's just going to keep praising God forever and ever, and it won't ever go down. And it's not just that, but he says he's going to do it every single day along the way. Right? So he wants to praise God in an unending manner, but also in an unbroken one as well. And so when you get into the start of this passage and you see this incredible commitment David has to limitless praise, you have to ask, why? Why is he going to do that? And the answer, really, which is the remainder of the psalm, is pretty simple. It's this. We give limitless praise to God because our God is limitless. We give limitless praise to our God because our God is limitless. And David, throughout the rest of the psalm, gives a number of reasons why he believes that's the case. Okay, first, he says, God is limitless in his greatness. So have a look at verse 3-4. Okay, he says this, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable." Right? It's limitless. "One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." Okay, what God has done, his mighty acts of redemption, they're worth talking about throughout the generations, David is saying. And now there are some things that we do talk about throughout generations, aren't there? You might be able to think of some. I can think of one. For example, Gallipoli, the Battle of Gallipoli. Right, there's a picture of it, an artist's image of it there. Now, that landing that took place on the 25th of April back in 1915 is something that's still talked about today, isn't it? At least here in Australia. In fact, that's part of the reason why we have Anzac Day on 25th of April. It's tied to Gallipoli. Right, and so this act is seen as a great act in the history of our nation. So great that we talk about it from generation to generation. But it's only been just over 100 years since that date, since 1915. It's been 3,000 years since the time of David. And you and I are still talking about how great God is. Right? That tells you God's greatness is far greater than anything we might be talking about at the moment. Okay, his greatness is limitless. Now, David also says that God's is limitless in his goodness. Not just his greatness, but his goodness. So have a look at verse 7. He says, "They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. Now again, here we have people speaking about God. It's a group of people, and here it's about God's abundant goodness on display. Okay, they're not just speaking about it either. How does David phrase it? He says, they shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness. In other words, this is praise of God just bubbling forth from these people. It's the way David's writing it. Now, I remember actually being once here at church and being struck by the singing of another individual who was here in the service. Now, it wasn't that they had an angelic voice, but rather, and this person's not here, but I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying this, their singing actually wasn't that great. In fact, it was kind of off key, out of tune. But what struck me about it, and maybe you've felt this as well sometimes, what struck me about it was the passion with which this person was singing. Right? They were belting it out, even in off key, out of tune. They were belting it out. And no doubt that was because they thought God was really just that good. Good enough to risk looking or sounding silly. Right? That's how good God is, David's saying. That's what he's getting at here. He's imagining people pouring forth with praise for this limitless God. Now, there's a lot here in this psalm, and we don't have time to go into all of it tonight, but just quickly, David also talks about God's power and his kingdom there in verses 10 to 13, and he talks about God's goodness a bit more by talking about how he providentially cares for all of his creation, and you can see that in verse 14 to 16. Like I said, there's even more there. We just can't cover it all tonight. But what's clear, as you get a sense of what's happening here in this psalm, is that David thinks our God is limitless. In fact, he even uses the structure of the psalm to drive this point home. Okay, now you might not have noticed it. This is an acrostic poem, an acrostic psalm. So in the original language, the Hebrew, every verse starts with a different letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It's almost like David saying, this is the A to Z of God's limitless praise. Right, that's the kind of praise that this God deserves. So as we kind of begin drawing some threads together, well, there's one question in particular, I think, based on what we've seen, that we have to ask. There's a question we've got to ask about this psalm. Right, now, David, he has limitless praise for God. But the question is, can I have that same level of praise for him? Can you have that same level of praise for God? Because if you're like me, or maybe you're thinking that you fall really short when it comes to praising God, to making that an active part of your life. And don't get me wrong, I mean, I can thank God for the things that he does for me. I can ask him for forgiveness and know that in Jesus he forgives me. I can ask for my needs to be met. But can I praise him like this, to this sort of level? Can I do that? Can you do that? I mean, how can I, if I'm honest? Because I'm far more likely to be thinking of myself rather than God. In fact, if I think about it, I could get to the end of this psalm and just be filled with guilt because I don't praise him in this same way. So how are we to make sense of this? What are we meant to do then with Psalm 145? Well, the key is, and this is the way it is with almost all of Scripture, the key is to put this psalm in its proper biblical context. See, this isn't just King David's words of praise for his God and King, like he says in verse 1. No, more than that, it's King Jesus' words for his God and King. Okay, now in a proper biblical context, it's a bit like the portrait mode on your camera phone. Right? You've used the portrait mode, you take a photo of someone and it kind of makes the background all fuzzy and brings the central image clear and sharply into focus. And that's something like what's happening when we put this psalm into its whole Bible context. Right? The central image is what comes to the forefront. In this case, the image of Jesus, the greater king whom King David merely foreshadowed. And so that means then, when we read verse 1, we're meant to read it as Jesus saying, I will extol you, my God and King. Why are we meant to read that as Jesus saying that to his Father? And so that means this psalm, really what it's about is God the Son giving limitless praise to God the Father. And I think that's incredible when you stop to think about it, because when referring to God's great acts of redemption, what we're seeing is Jesus praising his Father for those things, even though they're achieved through him. Now, the Williams sisters are famous and well-known tennis superstars, and no doubt have heard of them. And they've received high praise throughout the years for their prowess on the tennis courts. And fair enough, right? I can only imagine the level of work and effort that they put in their individual careers. But what's also now known, particularly thanks to the movie that came out recently, is that their father, Richard, had a massive role in their success, right? It was largely his dedication in the early days that led to their sustained success over the last decade or so. And now they have all three received praise for that, right? Both father and daughters are worthy of praise for their individual efforts. But here in this psalm, Jesus, though the Father's plan has been achieved through him, well, here we see Jesus giving all the praise to his Father. Right? He's not taking any of the praise for himself. Even Jesus, the great King of God's people, has unending, limitless praise for God his Father. So when he says, for example, in verse 19, he says, he fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears their cry and saves them. Well, that's Jesus giving all the praise to his Father for something that was carried out through him. Right? As if we're here tonight and we're Christians, we're saved by trusting in what Jesus has done on our behalf. But here's Jesus, if we're reading this psalm rightly, saying, my Father, he hears their cry and saves them. Now, why mention that? Why mention this is the right way to read this psalm? Well, it's to get a bigger sense of God, isn't it? What we're seeing here is Jesus' praise for his heavenly Father pouring forth, right? It's his limitless praise bubbling up unceasingly. And Jesus himself, he was the one who said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so here we're getting a clear picture of Jesus' heart, aren't we? And it's a heart that is full of praise for his heavenly Father. Now, doesn't that tell you even more how limitless God must really be? If even King Jesus praises him to this extent. So, we've moved quickly, but as we kind of wrap things up, how should we respond? How should we respond to this psalm? Well, can you imagine someone walking up to the Mona Lisa, the world's most famous piece of artwork, there it is there, receives worldwide praise, this piece of artwork. Can you imagine someone walking up to it, seeing it for the first time in the flesh, and their reaction is, meh, and then they just walk away? Right? Now, you would rightly think if you saw someone do that, come on. Can't you see what's right in front of your face? And tonight, can you see what's right in front of your face here in the psalm? Right, David's clear. Our God is limitless. He's limitless in his greatness. He's limitless in his goodness. And he's so worthy of praise that even the great King Jesus, our King, praises him limitlessly. And so, despite our own flawed attempts at praise, despite our struggles with praise, can you join with Jesus as he praises his King? Well, yes, you can. Right? You can be part of the generation that commends God's works to the next as the body of Christ. We've talked about tonight the benefits of being part of the body of Christ. Right? We can praise God as part of the body of Christ. Now, you can have the same heart that bubbles with praise for God because Jesus dwells in your heart by faith. And his heart is unceasingly praising God. And you can praise God for the way that he, through Jesus, has heard your cry and saved you if you're trusting him by faith. So, Jesus praises his Father perfectly in an unending and an unbroken manner. That's what Psalm 45 is about. Now, he's at the right hand of his Father right now. That's where Jesus is, and he's doing it right now. So can we join with him as he praises his God? Yes, we can. With Jesus, we can give limitless praise to our limitless God. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we want to join with the Lord Jesus tonight in giving you all the praise for who you are and for what you've done, for your unsearchable greatness and your unparalleled goodness, for the way you act to save your people and for the way you care for all creation, for the way that you're slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and the way that you preserve all those who love you. Father, on our own, we can't even get close to this limitless level of praise that you rightly deserve. But we know Jesus can, and we know Jesus does. So would you continue to work in us by your Spirit to enable us to join with him as he gives you the limitless praise that is yours alone. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.